Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
This program is sponsored by the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Alan Churchill is not with us today, but he has invited me to present today's message. My name is Donald Crisp. I am the lead pastor at the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and it is my privilege to bring the message to you today. Think of it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. My prayer is that God will bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and comfort you. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home as He speaks to us and draws us near. The theme of today's message is His amazing love. The fact is, His love calls out to us softly and tenderly. His love compels us to draw near to His side. Will you listen to His call as we listen to Daniel O'Donnell singing softly and tenderly? Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come.
Calling all sinners, come home.
Yes, His amazing love. Let's look at His amazing love found in Scripture, Romans chapter 5, some selected verses, verses 5 to 8. The Apostle Paul writing says, "We rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." And verse 8 says, "And God demonstrates His own love to us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, isn't that amazing? At just the right time, Christ pours out His love to us and demonstrates that love to us on the old rugged cross. My first point in this message is that His amazing love supplies. Her name was Marilyn. She began to lose her eyesight. It got worse and worse. The doctor told her she had an irreversible problem called macular deterioration. He predicted that she would be legally blind. Well, of course, that's exactly what happened. She lost her eyesight. And it wasn't long after that where she began to go to school for the blind to learn Braille. She went to Bible college as well to study the scriptures. And there she met a ministerial student named, I love this name, A.C. Ford. They fell in love, and they married. Marilyn had prayed many times that she might be healed by miracle or medicine. One night, A.C. got on his knees, as he had done many times. He prayed, and he had done this for 12 years every night. He prayed, "God, if it be your will, I pray that you will do it tonight. Restore her sight tonight." And suddenly he heard Marilyn cry out, "A.C., A.C., I can see, I can see." He turned immediately and said, "You're kidding. That's a real good picture of a Christian. Doesn't believe what they're praying. Suddenly, again, she says, I can see, I can see." Oh, she was so excited. A.C. and Marilyn went off to the doctor, that same doctor who had examined her before her blindness. And immediately he put eye charts up in front of her and he said, "Well, let's see what you can do." You know what? She read them with ease. He said to her, "Marilyn, I cannot doubt or deny that you can see. Now let me look into your eyes." And when he looked into her eyes, he gasped and he said, "I don't understand it. There's no change." She says, "What do you mean there's no change?" He said, "There's no change. You are blind. A portion of your eyes are like a mirror that has like quicksilver scraped off it." And he said, "Marilyn, do you realize this is a bigger miracle than what we have both believed? It is impossible medically for you to see, and yet you see." Marilyn Ford wrote her book, "These Eyes, Blind, Now See." You know, as we think upon that, I can't help but say God's love is so amazing. It supplies all our needs. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, we read that with Israel, He led them, He fed them, He clothed them, and He healed them. That's my story. That's my testimony. Every Christian knows that. God leads us, feeds us, clothes us, and yes, according to His discretion, will heals us. His amazing love supplies all our needs. Our wants and our desires are different than needs. That's a message for another time. Humanity is in the need and has a great need for a Savior. Oh, they need a loving Savior. And that Savior is none other than Jesus Christ. He will love you, forgive you, and He has a plan for you. Let's listen to Scripture that affirms this truth about His amazing love and what He is able to do. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "He is able to save you completely." Oh, you say, "But you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. Save me completely? Is that possible?" Yes, He is able to save you completely. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "He is able to guard over what you've entrusted to Him." Have you entrusted your life and your heart to Him? You can count on it. He will guard over you. He will guard over that decision. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18 says, "He is able to guard you and me when tempted." You know, the fact is that temptation is not sin. It's when we yield to temptation, that's sin. He's able to help us through that process, if only we'll listen to Him. Jude 24 says, "He is able to keep us from falling." Oh yes, when we are tempted and we yield and we sin, then we fall. But let me tell you this, His arms are strong and they're quick, and they are ever-loving and everlasting. And as we fall, he will catch us, and he'll stand us back up, and he'll move and tell us to keep moving forward. Romans 16, verse 25 says, he is able to strengthen you. Are you tired and weary? Run into his arms. Let him hold you. Those strong arms will strengthen you. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, he is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or even imagine. Yes, his love, his amazing love supplies. Secondly, his amazing love stoops. The Message, a newer rendition of the scriptures in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, reads this way. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God the Father, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, crucifixion. Now, folks, that's amazing love. A love that humbles itself, a love that stoops. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself or stoops will be exalted. Again, can you picture Jesus at the Passover meal? It was customary for someone to be appointed to wash the feet of the guests. This was the role of a servant. Or if the host did not have the means to provide a servant, you guessed it, it would be the woman of the house that would wash a servant's feet. Here's the picture, Jesus with his disciples, Jesus the rabbi, with his disciples. He humbles himself as he stoops and washes his disciples' feet. Here's a picture of our Lord in his amazing love, stooping and washing the feet of those who he loves. A simple yet profound picture of a love that stoops. There's a challenge for each of us today as believers. Are we able to model that humble servant's heart as we stoop to serve one another? Whether at work, home, or at church. I'm reminded of the late Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's hamburger chain. He was known for his humble service within his multi-billion dollar empire that he had founded. One day he was asked, Dave, what makes you so successful? And he replied, well, that's my MBA. Now, he didn't mean that he had a degree in or a master's in business education. What he meant was he had a MBA, a mop and bucket attitude. Think of it, a mop and bucket attitude. In other words, no work task was insignificant for him to tackle. He would simply jump in and get the job done. Dave Thomas lived by that creed of the MBA. He humbled himself and stooped to do whatever needed to be done. Oh yes, Jesus, his love is amazing. It supplies, it stoops. Thirdly, his love is sincere. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, that love must be sincere. It's a love that is devoted to one another. It's a love that honors one other person above yourself. That could be your children. That could be your spouse. It honors other people above yourselves. That's what a sincere love is. Did you know that the ancient Romans loved and valued Greek sculptures? Many of the statues, due to their age, had what I would call gaps and cracks where the marble was missing. So the vendors would put wax in the gaps and the cracks. And the statues looked great for a season. I can picture me buying one, not even noticing the difference. However, over time, the wax would yellow and harden. Now, if a vendor wanted to sell the real deal, a real authentic statue, they would mark it Sincera Marble. That's S-I-N-E, the Latin word for without, and cera, C-E-R-A, the Latin word for wax. Sincera, without wax. Romans 12, verse 9 says, love must be sincere, without wax, meaning no pretending. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, no pretending. Acts 2, 46, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. No pretending. Here's the good news for today and forevermore. God's amazing love for us all supplies all our needs. God's amazing love for us all stoops. Just look to the cross and remember how he humbled himself in love for you and for me. Folks, it wasn't the nails that held him on the old rugged cross. It was his amazing sacrificial love for you and for me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him, trust in him, would not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, God's love, his amazing love supplies. God's amazing love stoops. God's amazing love is sincere. His love for us is without wax. It's real. It's a devoted love. It's an honoring love. Now here's the challenge for us today. Ask yourself this question. Is my love for the Lord God without wax? Is my love for the Lord God real? Is my love for the Lord God a devoted love that honors him? His amazing love supplies, stoops, and is sincere. Fourthly, his amazing love serves. You see, foot washing wasn't ever really about foot washing. It was about stooping. It's about having your MBA. It was about serving. The Bible says that he humbled himself and took the form of a servant. Jesus himself said in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me ask you a question. If you heard you only had 12 hours left to live, what would you do with that time? I can imagine we'd be doing many things, putting our house in order. We would be meeting with family, letting them know we love them. Oh, so many things to do. What did Jesus do, knowing he only had 12 hours left to live? Well, the Bible's very clear. He humbled himself in love, and he served us by giving his life as a ransom for many. Now, how amazing is that? Mother Teresa visited Phoenix in the year 1989. She was opening a home for the poor. During her brief visit, she was interviewed by KTAR, I understand the largest radio station in town. In a private moment, the announcer asked her if there was anything that he could do for her. No doubt he was expecting her to say, well, a contribution would be nice, or how about some more airtime? But that's not what she said. She said, yes, there is something you can do. You can find somebody that no one else loves and love them. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and he demonstrated his own love to us, even as he died for us. Folks, we need to tell people that story. We need to let them know that God loves them. We need to be privileged and consider it an honor to be able to tell that old, old story. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We need to tell them the story. Let's listen to Alan Jackson from his Precious Memory CD singing, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Same hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Yes, His love supplies. His amazing love stoops. His amazing love is sincere. His amazing love serves. Fifthly, and finally, His amazing love seeks and saves. Luke chapter 19, within it we see the story of Zacchaeus. We remember Zacchaeus, just that little guy. He heard Jesus was in the area. He runs up to a tree, climbs the tree. He wants to see Jesus pass by. Jesus doesn't pass by. He stops before him, looks up the tree, sees Zacchaeus and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." In verse 10 of Luke 19, Jesus declares about Zacchaeus, who had just come to faith in Christ. And this is what Jesus declares. Listen to these words. "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." That was His mission, to seek and to save. We're told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, that we have a picture of how one becomes lost. Think about it. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save what was lost." But how does one become lost? In chapter 15 of Luke, there are three parables. Jesus shares and then teaches on what we need to hear. He refers to a lost sheep, a lost coin, and, oh yes, a lost son. We know him as the prodigal. As we carefully examine the passage in Luke 15, we can discern that the sheep was lost due to foolishness, the coin was lost due to carelessness, and, oh yes, the son was lost due to willful wastefulness. Wow, that's a true picture of humanity. That's a picture of my life before coming to Christ. I was foolish. I was careless. I was willfully wasteful with my life. What about you? Does that describe you? You know what? I don't want you to focus on you being foolish, careless, or willfully wasteful. Here's a better picture to focus on. The picture of God looking at you. God looks to the foolish, the careless, and to those who have been willfully wasteful with their lives, and He offers them forgiveness and mercy, and He extends to them His amazing love. The fact is, when we receive His Son Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we can then declare, "Once I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Will you pray with me to commit and surrender your life to the One who said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly"? Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, I do come to You right now, realizing that I am being foolish, I have been careless, and I am being wasteful with my life. I come to You as a sinner. I ask for Your forgiveness. Lord, I just want You to receive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Change me, Lord. I surrender all to You even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in conclusion, allow me to thank you for your open heart and your prayerful encouragement and your God-led financial support of this radio ministry. You need to know that your faithful prayers and gracious giving empowers and enables this ministry to deliver God's good news message on the air. Dr. Churchill and I want to thank you for being part of our ministry team. Folks, we can't do this without you. Let me encourage you and challenge you to make a check payable to the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries. Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Mark the check, Good News Broadcast. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. Also, you can find this and other programs of ours by Googling the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries. Click on Ministries, then on Broadcasting. Don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross. A church that will equip you encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you will empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Now, as we conclude today's program, here is Susan Boyle singing Amazing Grace. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and purpose. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.